You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. All right, Bad Boys fans, it's been, what, a decade? But their third movie is here in the long-awaited trilogy conclusion, question mark, to the Bad Boys films. And here's the good news. This definitely feels like a Bad Boys movie.
What's amazing is these movies actually have real chronology based on when the movies are made. Like, they don't try to bullshit it at all. It's like, that's so much more continuity than any of these movies deserve.
It's you're not wrong, but, I mean, this is a weird franchise to begin with. Like, not a film, I think, when they made the first one, anyone was thinking, yeah, Michael Bay's definitely going to go back and do a sequel to this continue the story.
And also, when the first one came out, it wasn't really in the era where, like, everything has to start a franchise. It was just like, here's another action movie. It's 1999.
Yeah.
I direct a lot of music videos. I'm Michael Bay. Check out this ass and this explosion.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
Was the original history of it, the original pairing was supposed to be two white detectives, John Lovitz and I forget who else.
Are you kidding?
I think it was Dana Carvey.
Yeah, it was Dana Carvey.
It was John Lovitz and Dana Carvey.
I'm going to only assume Michael Bay was not involved at that stage of the project. Bad Boys.
He's looking at you.
When you say, look at this ass, was that just Will Smith's ass? Because 1999, Will Smith's ass was selling, you know, tons of records.
I just picture Will Smith going, like, okay, you need to do a Johnny Carson impression for us to be able to get the bad guys here. Okay. Well, it was a really great show. No, sorry, it's terrible. But let me talk about who's here, because we got a big crowd for this one, because a lot of people wanted to go see Bad Boys 3. I could knock my ass over with a feather. I'm Chris.
Sarah Jane.
Ben.
JC.
Alan.
Mike.
Michael Murphy, let me suggest.
Oh, yeah. Just because
we got a lot of mics hanging around. So.
Mike Lowry.
Yeah.
Right? Mike Lowry.
Mike Lowry.
Now, the weirdest news and the things I think a lot of, part maybe why this got dumped in January instead of like being a summer release is because although Jerry Bruckheimer is certainly back as a big producer with his name and style over it, Michael Bay is only involved as a producer. He is not directing this film, although he does have a brief and funny little cameo.
That's actually a pretty good cameo.
Instead, they got two guys who are quite new to doing feature films, although they have made a number of movies in their own home country. The movie just credits them as Adil and Bilal, but it's Adil El Arbi and Bilal Fala, who are Belgian film and television directors who've, if you saw Black in 2015, I know that one was relatively well known, and they worked a bit on the television series Snowfall from there. So these two guys kind of out of nowhere put in charge of like the third movie, long-awaited third movie in a very popular, to some, franchise was kind of a weird decision from the get-go, it felt like. And then hearing that, oh, these guys also are directing the next Beverly Hills Cop movie, another long, well, I wouldn't say awaited. Anybody who saw three is not awaiting another Beverly Hills Cop film. So, well, yeah, okay.
Actually, so, I kind of enjoy
three. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Not good, but I kind of enjoy it.
Sarah Jane's with me, right? It's terrible.
It's an age thing. Like, it's like, if I watched it again, I'd be like, this movie is a fucking mess. But when I was
it's
young,
atrocious, yeah.
When Axel Foley's running around an amusement park, I was like, this is fun.
It has been a little while since I've seen it, but I do still even remember it when I was younger as, it's fun schlock, but it's definitely not as good as one.
Well, the upshot here is, for me, the Bad Boys movies were, like, I never had the straight same appeal. They never had the same appeal to me as they did to everybody else, and that's partially because I've never liked Martin Lawrence. Always liked Will Smith. Always rooting for Will Smith. Always in his corners. Like, I'd love, like, the idea of a good Will Smith comeback, but Martin Lawrence is one of those guys that just, man, I just do not think you are funny at all.
Man, I cannot disagree more.
I know, and a lot of people Martin. Feel that way, but I hated that show.
Blue Streak was great.
I hated Blue Streak. I was like, man, I just do not think he's funny.
You hated the show, Martin.
And to say that, like, these are the only two, before this, Martin Lawrence films that I was like, okay, I'll watch these. It's okay. Because he and Will Smith had, I give you this, really good chemistry together. And they were writing them to be funny, and they bounced off each other well. And I was like, okay, even though Lawrence still, the whole time, you can see him at, acting! You can't see Will Smith acting.
Well, Martin isn't a good actor.
Like, no.
He's funny. Like, and like, I think in all the Bad Boys movies, Like, and I think this one does the best job of leaning on that, where they don't really give him any, like, in the other ones, they give him some dramatic weight and some, like, moments, some melodramatic stuff to do, and he's really not good at that.
No.
In this one, they lean completely hard on, like, just be funny.
Well, it's funny. The few and, like, moments where he has to be melodramatic, they actually let the camera do the work instead of Martin Lawrence, which is the right decision.
You mean like when they do the famous Bad Boys rotational camera but, around them?
Like, so I was looking forward to this movie less than probably a lot of you guys. I was more going in like, just please be good so Beverly Hills Cop 4 is like a way to fix that series, because I'm happy Eddie Murphy had a great comeback film and I want it to continue. I want it to be good. I want Coming to America 2 to be good. I want Beverly Hills Cop 4 to bring back my passion for that first movie that was so the perfect action comedy that certainly there'd be no Bad Boys without.
Yeah.
But I went into this, okay, let's see. I mean, it can't be any, like, it can't be dumber and worse than two, which is fun to watch, but pretty fucking stupid. Even our friend Brian Salisbury, as I just found out tonight, like, who is like, these movies are made for him and his taste, for the, like, who does junk food cinema, and he doesn't like Bad Boys 2.
Yeah.
Which baffles me.
When he first told me that, I couldn't believe it.
But I'm pleased to report, I think this is actually, at least about on the same level, if not even I liked a little bit better than the first Bad Boys.
The story is stupid, but it actually holds together a lot better than two.
It's, I mean, two is just goes to that level of absurdity that, like, there's points I was like, this doesn't even make sense anymore.
This one might be the best written of the three. I don't
best
know
written
that,
for sure.
Yeah, I don't know that it ends up being my favorite of the three, but like clear, concise, not as much cheesy dialogue, like A to B, like not a lost moment.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, this is pretty airtight. It's like if the first Bad Boys is on coke. The second Bad Boys is on coke, meth, and ecstasy.
Yeah.
This one's just on coke and ecstasy.
Now, this one is remember. Like, this movie is the one where it remembers what it used to be like to be on coke, meth, and ecstasy. Where they reminisce about it fondly.
Yeah, I remember rewatching the first one like years after it came out. I was like, oh yeah, I remember really liking this movie. And it does have some of the best moments in the series, but that plot is basically a shoestring plot that barely makes sense.
And I mean, and this one is almost like a tribute to the action movies of the 90s in some ways. That there's, if you watched all these type films at the time, all those early Michael Bay films and all the imitators of early Michael Bay films and all the films that Michael Bay was imitating, you'll recognize almost everything that's coming in this film. But they put it together in a way that is kind of like, even while it's obvious, it feels like it's tipping its hat the whole time. It wants to be a film that feels like it would have been comfortably sandwiched in coming out right after the last Bad Boys.
Yeah.
And I kind of got to give credit to that they did that and didn't make a terrible fucking movie while doing it.
Yeah, this thing is, I was nervous. I was excited about it. I love the first Bad Boys, like the second Bad Boys quite a bit. And this one, like, I was nervous going in, because I do have some expectation around it. And I was like, why is this a January dump? Like, it still has Will Smith in it. And Martin Lawrence, who's, like, not as big a name now, but he still is a pool of some sort. And so, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised after, like, the first, it was, like, halfway through the first act where things started to click together. And I was like, oh, so this is just, like, real insane. And they're, like, they're doing it. They understand it. Like, the worst thing that could happen is they didn't understand what Bad Boys was.
Yeah.
And halfway through the first act, like, it clicked. It was like, okay, they understand what they're doing. They understand the movie they're making here.
Yeah, my only gripe with this one, the first two had really cool criminal villains. And this one has a pretty cool criminal villain. They don't spend enough time with her, really. And, like, she's not as likable or as really funny, because the first, the Johnny Tapia in the second movie had a lot of moments where he's just really funny. Yeah, I really like the villains in the first two, and that's a little bit weak for me.
This one, it's definitely thematic. Everything in this film is thematic, and honestly, there's like a big surprise that comes in the third act that I like is the only thing I didn't see coming. And then when you look at the way everything in this movie is structured, which is so very, like I said, 90s action movie, I'm like, how did I not see that coming? It's like, well, the whole film set this up to be the thing.
I didn't see it coming because it is so insanely melodramatic.
Yeah.
Like, soap opera level. That I couldn't believe it happened.
But the movie even prepared you for that.
It does. I think the script is really tight here. And they understand that, like, the moment you go that melodramatic and they play it for it, to immediately undercut it with jokes. Like, this, immediately make fun of it. It's like, this movie knows that this is big and silly and sweet.
The only thing that I did want to say, like JC was saying, though, the biggest thing is, like, they had this big villain that this is really crucial, what the melodramatic thing is, and then they make her more interesting in the last act, that you still get none of what makes her more interesting in that last act. They kind of, like, tease it throughout, but in a way that doesn't really add anything to the movie until you know, they start explaining who she is and poured into the actual plot into this twist.
Well, speaking of the plot, let me describe it. Will Smith and Martin Lawrence return, still cops together, still bad boys after all this time. Sorry, it just hurts me to say it. I don't know why.
Chris, they're bad boys for life.
It's so corny. I would dislike anybody who they and their best friend sing that song together and identify themselves.
Are you worried that the awkwardness of whenever they sing that song won't be in this movie the same way it is in the first and second?
It's totally
here. Don't worry, it's awkward when they sing
totally
the song.
Awkward.
It's still kind of cringy.
When they do it at the wedding, it's just like, why isn't somebody telling them to shut the hell up?
That is incredible.
Once again, plot. So, it's... In the beginning, you're like, oh, right, inserted in the middle of an action scene, but oh, it's a feint because they're not actually possibly destroying lots of public property in a huge car chase across the city with cops chasing them.
Yeah,
yeah, but like, it's like one of those they would have in real life.
Yeah.
insane car chase because Martin Lawrence's daughter is about to give birth to his grandchild. And you're like, okay. And the moment it started, I was like, that's what's happening right here.
Oh, yeah. I knew,
yeah.
I knew we were rushing to a hospital.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
almost definitely.
Yeah. And so right off the bat, this film is about generations. You're like, oh. And that continues with him going, well, Martin Lawrence is like, I feel like this is my time. I want to step back and retire. Will Smith's like, no, I'm angry at you for even suggesting that you should like live your well-earned retirement after being shot at thousands of times.
If this sounds familiar, it's because it's the same setup as Bad Boys 2.
Fair enough.
He's like wanting to be done.
And the last two Lethal Weapon movies.
Right. Yeah. Everything is like, they're like, Will Smith's kind of like, he's angry about this, and there's a new team that's in there that's led by an ex of his, where he's both like constantly like checking her out and going, nah, I wouldn't know.
She is
with that.
Unbelievably attractive.
She's very attractive.
Paola Nunez?
I believe that is correct. Yes. Who is also a Mexican producer as well.
Experience she runs a team of another group of unbelievably attractive cops.
Yeah. some of which you'll recognize, like Vanessa Hudgens, who actually a kind of a surprising turn for her in her career, but one I was like, I didn't realize till the end of this movie. It's like, oh, because they want to create a Fast and the Furious franchise, so they want
musicians.
There's
also even a joke at her in this movie where it says they're High School Musical with guns. She was in High School Musical.
Yeah. I mean, it's a smart move to get your little character pieces like that with like somewhat two famous people to be doing it. Like,
well, yeah. I mean, even some of the other people in here, like Charles Melton plays Reggie on Riverdale
which is a
huge show right now, and Alexander Ludwig, who is like the cute, huge, white dude on the team, but who's like, no, I don't do action. I just do computers. And they're all like, what the fuck, dude? You're like built like a truck. Has done a lot of other stuff, including like the Hunger Games and the Seeker movies and stuff like that. So
he's a recognized
and his Vikings.
He looks like a CW looking ass.
Yeah. So they've got the new young team of Will Smith and Martin Lawrence resent immediately. And they just like, hey, grandpa, and that sort of thing. And you know that, of course, all that shit's going to either one or two things going to happen. They're all going to die, and their Will Smith's going to be like, no, I can't believe I didn't. They died for the cause. We got to revenge them. Or they're all going to be best friends.
Oh, no, you forgot the third option where they're all actually undercover traitors and they're all going to betray them in the end.
There is that as well. But obviously that doesn't happen or I wouldn't have forgotten it. So everything turns sideways when Will and Martin are fucking around in the street after a thing, and some dude comes by on a motorcycle and shoots Will Smith, and which is an odd way to start a Bad Boys
in front of a dozen like, armed cops who are all like, what happened?
Yeah. Like, doesn't just shoot him in the shoulder, like, shoots him multiple times throughout his torso, and they're
yeah,
like,
I didn't know if we were going to mention this in the review, because it's so early in the movie, but it was, like, one moment where I was truly, like, shocked by it. I was like, I can't believe they're doing this.
Yeah, they actually made Will Smith mortal in a movie? Never.
So right. It turns out that, like, this Mexican cartel drug lord's wife, who apparently was equally involved in being a cartelian, is that the word? I don't know. But
sure.
has escaped from prison, which we see in a cool but predictable sequence in the beginning of the film. And she has a revenge on for everyone who was involved with her husband going to jail, who apparently died in prison. And she's like, we're going to kill every one of them with the help of her son, who is a mega badass. Yeah. Who, like, I mean, he has this action scene right in the early, relatively early on in the film, where he takes one of those awesome, cool curved knives and just fucks up a whole group of people immediately. Yeah, exactly. So, like, I was like, yeah, I like this guy.
Certifying.
I like this guy.
Which, brings, like, it made me just realize, like, how something we should know is how intense the violence is in this. It has, like, a real, like, direct-to-video energy to it. Like, the violence is, like, fucking violent.
Yeah, it's a credit to these directors because, like, Bad Boys 2 was incredibly violent, but Michael Bay, as he does, which I don't mind, a little too much on explosions and things like that. Not really a whole lot of explosions here.
Yeah, although there is that one sequence towards the top of the third act where they go into this place. It's this huge, decrepit building, and you're like, they're going to burn that shit to the ground. Yeah. Yeah. The moment you see it, you're like, they're going to blow that thing to pieces.
Which also is, like, the best action scene in this whole movie, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the final action location is like the red shirt of this franchise. Like, big building that final action scene is going
to
take in.
Yeah, they're going to blow it to shreds. Yeah, exactly. But so it turns into, like, these guys are like, have a revenge on. They're also like, oh, well, you weren't supposed to actually kill him first. Yeah, obviously, he doesn't die, but he's very sick. And they're going around killing all these other people, and then it's sort of like, surprisingly long into this movie before they figure out who's doing this and what the connection is, as they're trying to track down through various whatever tiny leads they have, who's doing this.
It's arbitrary. Like, there's so many scenes just like, we go to this place, we do some stuff.
Yeah.
It works out, it doesn't work out. We go to the next scene.
There's a semi-recognizable actor that plays a bad guy in this scene that gets to do something funny. It's slightly funny or violent.
Yeah.
Move on to the next one.
I mean, that's the structure of a lot of action movies.
Cut back and forth to Joe Fantoliano as the angry captain shouting at them and going, fine, do it your way.
Oh my God, they finally give Joey Pants a real scene, though, in this movie. The first of the three where they're actually, he has an emotional moment with Will Smith, where I was like, I can't believe I'm watching this happen in a Bad Boys movie, where you're like, wow, he actually has, like, a well-written piece of dialogue trying to explain to Will Smith the futility of constantly trying to stay young when you're not young.
I even like the Buddhist story that he told him. I'm like, shit, that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, God.
Also, I can perfectly picture him as the dad shouting at his daughter in a basketball game. It fits perfectly.
He did, on the bench, when he told that story, scream, where the fuck are you going at a children's
bench? That actually wasn't in the script. It's just what he does.
It's so good. Like, everything, like, stuff like that. There's so much in this movie that shouldn't work. Like, comedy beats, like, some slightly serious melodramatic moments. It really swings for the fences.
It does. And that's kind of my thing, where I'm like, even while this is still, like, what it's aping, which is, you know, in the way it should be, the Michael Bay films of this are not really 100% my thing. They're doing it really well. Yeah. In fact, they're, like I said, in some ways they're doing it better than Bay did it. And most annoying is those points that it feels like a sort of sheepish, like, we're going to do a Bay shot now, everybody stand back. I mean, there's a moment where they do the famous Bad Boys swing around shot of the two of them standing in the street.
Which always works on me, I'm sorry.
Which I was like, but it feels sheepish. It feels like, I guess we got to put this in here somewhere. This, like, is the one scene we can find to do it.
I agree. There are moments where it seems like they're being, like, a little too reverent. Where, like, because there are flares of action in this and stuff where it's, like you said, a little better than what Bay's done, or it's, like, different, at least.
Yeah.
And then when they're doing, like, pure homage, there are times where it feels a little like, you don't need this many of it, but it doesn't really bother me. Like, it's...
No, it didn't bother me. It didn't bother me. It's part of the suit.
Yeah. I love that they have the moments where it's just like, okay, we need an explosion, because Michael Bay would do that. Like, my favorite one is Chris just looking at me in the middle of the car chase, where there's a car on a trailer that just somehow two bullets blow it up, and it's clearly got no gas in it.
Explode the fuck out. And
my favorite one that...
And explode it in a way that, like, the wrong way.
Yeah, my favorite explosion that didn't make sense, though, is there's in the final fight scene, they're hiding behind a table, and they decide it's time to run from the table. And so the table blows up. And it's like... There was no explosives in this whole scene to this point. Why did your table blow up?
That's one of those things where I almost feel like they are hyper aware of the fact that those are Bayisms, and that makes no sense, and they're having fun with it of going like, we want to call your attention to that stuff, and going like...
For hardcore movie fans, action fans, like, that explosion is so people like you and me can notice it and be like, that's really funny.
There's a later explosion in that driving scene that they actually telegraphed to be exactly understandable. I'm like, you guys actually planned out an explosion. I'm so proud.
It's really, it's something.
I mean, it's definitely a lower budgeted film than we've seen at the previous ones. I mean, this is $90 million. I think the others were way over, like going into 150, 175. And there are points that you can only tell because even though their eyes are bigger than their stomach, basically, they're like, okay, so we visualize this huge sequence, but we're going to do it with CG. And the CG is a lot better now than it was then. They couldn't have done it with CG then. Now they can blow up a huge building and not blow it up. Yeah. Like,
one of the ways you can tell that the directors really got to do what it is that they wanted to do is there aren't 10 productions, different production company screens at the beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
Whoever, they really gave these guys a lot of freedom to do whatever they wanted.
All that being said, I still found a lot of the jokes to fall super flat in this movie for me, in just the way that the previous two did. What?
I was laughing a lot.
No, there were definitely laughs for me in here, no question. But there's a lot of stuff I was like, okay, we're going to go through this again. Here we go. All right. It's just not, like I said, it's one of those.
This is not your jam.
It's not on the whole my jam. I can respect it. There's Michael Bay movies I love, like The Rock.
I don't trust anyone who doesn't like The Rock.
Yeah, that's my jam. I get it. I can get on that. I like The Island. Shut up.
That was a little more sellable. Yeah. But, you know, I'm with you. I like The Island.
Yeah, yeah, I like The Island a lot. And then Pain and Gain, which a lot of people... it's funny, the biggest Michael Bay fans I know are the people who hate that movie the most. And I'm like, that's Michael Bay making fun of himself.
Yeah.
I got to give him a tip of the hat to go like, this dude's making fun of his own films in a film that's a Michael Bay film, like a Michael Bay film. I'm like... That's actually kind of awesome meta.
And for all you hardcore Bayheads out there, keep your eyes peeled for a little Bay cameo.
You can't miss it.
Yeah, the cameo is great. I will say my biggest complaint about this movie is there's a few pictures of young Will Smith, and they don't have the Gemini Man hair fade.
Oh, it'd
be great.
Oh.
That would have been the greatest hidden joke in this movie if they'd pulled that.
I've had a big Will Smith month. I watched Spies in Disguise. I watched the Blu-ray of Gemini Man, the 4K, I should say, which, by the way, you got to hear my review on the upcoming Digital Noise because I have thoughts.
That movie was like a whirlwind. I mean, watching it,
I was like, you know, I don't want to watch it in 60 FPS, but I got a 4K TV, so I'm gonna go ahead and give it a shot. And that was a mistake. Anyway,
I think that's the best way you could have
said it. I mean, it's the way the director intended. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Shout out to Eagley, you're a legend.
Yeah, except for when he's not.
No, but he's still a legend.
Yeah.
Legends aren't always good.
Only a legend can make that weird fucking movie.
Or live long enough to become a villain. Well, let's go to final thoughts. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
JC.
So, yeah, I really, really love this franchise. And, yeah, I was nervous to seeing that it was kind of a January dump. Martin Lawrence hasn't been in anything in so long. Gemini Man was a disaster. I was super nervous about this. But right away, it seemed like these directors had a hold of everything. This is a movie that I think had anybody else made it or any big studio were involved, it could have veered off into a number of dumb scenes. Like there's a scene in which Will Smith, has to bring the Marcus's grandson into a building, and you just think, I'm like, don't get to a gunshot carrying this, a gun bag carrying this baby, please. And
unless the baby pulls out a gun.
Any dumb area like that, it could have veered off into. It didn't. It stayed true to the formula of the first two. There's just enough nostalgia to really keep hardcore fans satisfied. It doesn't overdo the nostalgia. I think it nails the emotion when it tries to, which is kind of an understated thing that the first two movies do as well. I think this is a really underrated franchise. I really wish more people would give it a chance and not just dismiss Michael Bay as being people who really hate Michael Bay's movies in the first two. I think these are really well acted, really well constructed, really well made movies. This one was a lot of fun. It's super well written. I like all these supporting characters. This didn't miss for me at all. I couldn't be happier with the product that they delivered on this third one. So, yeah, I would give it 8.5 out of 9 Porsches.
Cool. Sarah Jane?
I will preface this by saying that I have not seen the first two Bad Boys movies. I'm sorry.
I have them if you want them.
and now you're a bad boy for life.
Take my wife, please. Take her.
Draft House tomorrow, 6 o'clock. You can watch the entire trilogy.
I saw that.
Oh, man.
I'm going to see Shogun Assassin tomorrow night, so I can see it.
Oh, so good. So good.
A little better.
No, a lot better. Thank you.
Anyways,
does Bad Boys have a scene where a samurai cuts off a guy's arm and it spurts blood like a fucking fire hose? I don't think so.
Bad Boys 4.
Actually, his hand would blow up instead.
It's true. It's true.
So I wasn't into action movies in the 90s, so I missed a lot of that stuff. And I've only seen a few Michael Bay movies. But I really liked this. I thought it was fun. I laughed a lot. I thought there was a good chemistry between Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, who I like.
wow, that was so pointed at me. She literally pointed at me.
I thought the supporting cast was good, although it did almost feel like it was like a CSI Cyber episode when they were with the Scooby Kids, I'll call them.
Yeah, sure.
That seemed like it was a tacked on thing. I'm guessing that wasn't that in the first two.
No, it was definitely.
So it just felt
the
like
first
it was
two were Will Smith, Martin Lawrence being yelled at by their boss.
Yeah. But so I really liked it. I'm gonna give this 7.5 Santa Muertes out of 10.
Ben,
I'm really curious to see what you think if you see the first two after having not after seeing this one and then not seeing the first.
Yeah. I am going to. Mm-hmm. I have them at home.
Report
I just
back.
Didn't.
Okay.
Put them in.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I came to this one with high hopes. Definitely, there's a lot of stupid here. Like literally, you do turn off your brain for these movies sometimes because if you look at it, there's a lot of dumb explosions that don't make sense. There's a lot of gunfights where it's just like, guys, you could have just avoided this many ways. There's a drone that basically is like 5 feet away from people. It's like, no, look, I've had drones like 30 feet away. I can hear. For the love of God, just keep something in there or turn your brain off. And when you do, you're going to have a good time with this. I still have some complaints from two that hold off here or hold up here where I still feel like they don't have Martin Lawrence and Will Smith together enough, because when they're together is when they both have the best riffing there, and also they have the best performances. You know, we talked about how Martin Lawrence isn't the strongest actor. He gets the best you get the best performance out of him with Will Smith because they kind of actually do play off each other well. But those are minor gripes when the action scenes are actually really great, especially the gunfight scenes. The last gunfight has a couple shots where I'm just like, that's a really fantastic use of the camera that really makes this scene feel energetic and enjoyable. I don't know if I necessarily need them to continue the series, which there's some hints at, as we've discussed, but I definitely watch it if it comes out. I'm going to give it...
You say hints at, and the movie literally sets up a next
fine.
Film. Like, as a just barely post-credit scene where it's like, and we'll be doing another one!
Yes, there's the Avengers Initiative at the end. So I'm going to give the movie 8 out of 10 times... Chris leaned over to me and clearly forgot Mike Lowry is a trust fund kid.
Mike, not Lowry, Murphy.
It's whatever. I'll go by that. These movies honestly raised me. Like, this is the first one I've seen as an adult. So I was really excited to come into this. Matter of fact, there's, I want to say maybe like 7-8 minutes into it, there's a callback or throwback to the second movie. So...
I haven't seen it in a while, so what was the callback?
So, the daughter, the daughter, the baby she had, the husband was the boyfriend from the second movie harassed and like...
Okay, so I was wondering if he was actually...
The exact same kid.
Yeah,
he
clearly was.
Yeah. Right.
Including the same joke shot from behind his head, which was really tall.
So yeah, they still scared him a little bit and even talked about that in the movie at the wedding scene. But I was really excited to see this. Like I like the explosions. I like the comedy. Like I'm that guy. If you need someone to see those movies, you can call me and I'll come by at any time.
You were one of the first to sign up for this one.
I was I was ready. Like as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, weeks out, sign me up. I don't care. But I was really excited. Like I know some people don't like Martin Lawrence, but I grew up on.
Once again, he pointed at me.
I grew up on the show. I liked his one-liners. Like, some of those I thought, like, maybe they just kind of let him, like, run with it. And they're like, fuck it, we'll keep some of this and cut some of it.
But, yeah, it feels very, like, there's wrist and it feel very improv. Mm-hmm. Like, all the stuff in the airplane.
Fucking
stuff,
Gina.
I mean, there was also post-credits improv scenes that they showed him on the plane.
Thank you, Jackie Chan.
Outside of that, I thought, like y'all mentioned, very Lethal Weapon, like the I'm getting too old for this shit parts, but I don't know. They probably will do another one, but I will definitely go and see that one. So I'd give it, I'd say 8 out of 10 explosions.
Fair. Alan, who I'm sure has a lot to say.
I don't have too much to say. I will say, like, I fucking love this movie. I really, really, really dug it. It's, and the, like, it's hard to call this movie stupid. Of course, like, it's stupid, but, like, I think you have to be really smart. You have to be really smart to make a stupid movie work. You know what I mean?
You're not wrong.
Like, you have to know the movie. Like, you, because it's not bad. It's dumb, and it knows it's dumb, and it plays, it leans into it when it needs to, and it's really competently made with, like, so, like, you know, it's not like, oh, what are we going to do? How do we make a movie? It's like, we know what we're doing. We're making this really dumb, big movie, and we're going to do it really well. And I love shit like that. It's like the best of the Fast and the Furious movies are like that, where they really lean into the dumb and understand the thing they're doing. I say, like, I think the budget was a bit of a factor. Some of the editing on, like, a couple of the car chases and action scenes are a little clunky.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of get lost. Like, you lose your geography of the action, which is one of my hugest complaints about action movies, but it doesn't last long. Like, it's like, whoa, we don't really have a connecting shot for this small sequence.
Yeah.
How did we get here all of a sudden? I don't know, but the rest of this is shot really well now, so I'm going to forgive it. It's kind of that thing. So that'd be my one misstep in it. I think it's... It also doubles down on the moral bankruptcy of these movies. It is violent as hell and mean and just, like, fucked up. Like, on with the... Like, the levity that they treat the violence to is just, like, alarming. Sometimes it's, like, sad for humanity.
They do that weird thing where, like, it feels like they're setting up a thing early on about, like, with Will Smith specifically of going, you can't fucking treat people this way. You can't just act that way. They've done it in all the movies,
and Will Smith is
always
right.
Like, you can't always break the fucking, like, law and be a fucking fascist, and this is another one where they're like, everyone just...
He's like, oh, yeah. Come on, Kevin.
Which is funny, that's the exact opposite of Spies in Disguise.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like, that always is the premise of these movies, where, like, Martin's character, or the captain's, is like, you can't do this, you need to get your life together. And in the end, Will Smith is always justified in just murdering people.
There's a great line where he's like, it's like, these people were shooting each other before we even got here. He's like, are you saying you didn't shoot anybody? He goes... Well, yeah, I shot a bunch of people, but still. It's just, they were shooting each other first.
And this movie is, it's like doubling down on that. And I, like, commend it for it. It is what it is. It's not like, yeah, I love it. So I'm going to go 9 out of 10.
I don't know, it cracks me up when he's, like, struggling to defend something, but then when I agree with him, it's even better.
I mean, like you said, like, it's not necessarily your jam, but you were entertained by it. And that's an impressive feat for a movie that is not really made for you, or something that you don't relatively enjoy that much.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love action movies.
Yeah.
I just, the Michael Bay level of action films, there's only a few I genuinely enjoy. Yeah. And the Bad Boys movies were not among them, where I'm like, they're fine, but I didn't really love them. And so I was surprised that I genuinely went into this going, like, I see what you're doing here. You're trying to create, you are, I mean, obviously, another Bad Boys film, and you're doing it with full deference of nod to everything that made those other Bad Boy films what they were, and in some ways you're doing it better than those films did. In some ways not as good, and part of that has to do with the fact that, quite simply, they're more limited by budget. There's no question that this, you can feel a bit more restraint on some level.
I remember when I was saying the budget was limiting, but I think it was offset by how good the script was. Compared to other Bad Boys movies.
I mean, really, it's still an absurd script, but it's an absurd script that knows it's absurd and doesn't go so far as to get meta about it.
Yeah.
But it's nodding at that. It's like, yes, we know where everyone, the audience knows, we know that this is silly. Mm-hmm. And we're giving you exactly what you expect, but we're not, like, doing it to an extent where you're getting, like, need to take some Tums because of
it foreshadows, like, jokes, little small jokes from the first act to the third act is something that the first two movies don't do. And so it's like, this script is, like, levels above.
I'm startled by the fact there actually is a balance going on here, where I was kind of admiring the script writing to a Bad Boys movie.
The script
and
is
going,
co-written,
like,
by Peter Craig, who also co-wrote The Town, which The Town does a really good job of balancing the humor and the dark humor in that movie as well.
Fair enough. But I admit, this is a movie, if they offer it to me on Blu-ray, I'll take it. And we'll watch it again and go, like, this is a weirdly fun little movie that, like, is able to look back at this period of movies, take what people love out of it, and do it in a way that doesn't make you feel, if you're aware that, that that's what they're doing, and doesn't feel insulting to your intelligence. It's still a fun action movie. Most of the dialogue is pretty fun, although, like I said, Martin Lawrence is a hard pill for me to swallow most of the time. And even here, I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, you're so annoying. You're such a terrible actor. You're such a terrible actor. And like I said, it lets the camera do the work sometimes in the few dramatic moments where it's like the camera like swings out of his way. So we don't have to deal with his full reaction. I could feel the directors going, now do this. It's not complex, but these films are never terribly complex. It is what it is. I'm not going to go back and rewatch Bad Boys 1 and 2 anytime soon, but part of me wants to just to say, is this my favorite of the Bad Boys films? Because it might actually be.
It's been a while since I've seen the other two, and I'm curious to watch them. Like, I enjoyed this so much. I'm like, is this my favorite one? I don't know.
I think 2 has some better action scenes in this movie, mm-hmm. but the movie as a whole, I think, works better.
2 has some bigger, ridiculously huge action scenes, because that was that sort of like... God, every time I think of 2, I think of Matrix, the second Matrix film, because both of them have totally insane car chase sequences that are completely outside the realms of possibility that look amazing, you know, and I think of that, like they're both movies that were like, as long as we keep elevating and getting bigger, this is a movie that doesn't feel the need to do that thing that action movies tend to do, where it's like, as long as it's bigger, it's better. That this doesn't do that. It, in fact, kind of grounds it a little bit more. Yeah. There's no lack of really good action, but it instead pulls back a bit and goes, no, they just
they don't invade another country with the DEA makes this movie a lot better.
I overall had fun with this. I certainly had a lot of moments where I was like, I didn't groan at anything, but it was like, yeah, this is exactly what I expected. But then the movie would surprise me and go, wow, that was really cool. These guys know how to direct action. My biggest hope, and I'm sorry, I'm going to get back to the Beverly Hills Cop thing here, is that these guys, in their skill in aping Michael Bay, are hyper aware if that when they're making Beverly Hills Cop 4, that their job is not to continue to ape Michael Bay when they're making that film. Otherwise, they just end up with another with a sequel to Beverly Hills Cop 2, which was a Tony Scott movie and was definitely Tony Scott being one of those guys. I'm always like, Tony Scott, Michael Bay.
They're still better at comedy than Tony Scott was.
Tony Scott's made some really good movies. I like more Tony Scott movies than I like Michael Bay, but to talk about like people who you would think of in the same sentence for directing a style of, type of action film in America, those guys are like right there, but definitely peers. You know, and that super stylized, over-the-top action film stuff from that period. Beverly Hills Cop 2 suffers from that to some extent. I want them to have that skill to go back and ape the guy who made the first movie, who also made the incredible and incredibly underseen Midnight Run.
Oh, such a brilliant movie.
And go like, okay, first off, Beverly Hills Cop, still the greatest action comedy movie ever made, in my opinion. Ape that guy. Do that. If you can do that, you guys are high up on my list of like directors to watch. I can't wait till they do a sequel to Raising Arizona. I'm going to give this 7.5 out of 10 times towards in the third act. I went, wow, you guys are totally setting up a Fast and the Furious franchise here, aren't you? I was honestly thought this was going to be a fond goodbye. You know, like, oh, these actors are both also getting too old to keep doing this. It felt like, okay, we're going to do this one last one. It'll be fun. Let's try and make it good. And then there's that little post-credit scene that, and then knowing the whole thing with all the other young actors and, oh, we have a team now and we're all great friends. I was like, oh, I see what's happening here.
If the next movie opens with Mike going, we're family, where I'm done.